Hello and welcome to the Bot Nirvana podcast, where we dive into all things software automation. I'm your host, Nandan Mullakra. While I'm not podcasting, I write articles on nandan.info. I hope you enjoy the show. Let's get right into it. In this episode, we have Doug Shannon. Doug is a leader in the intelligent automation space. He has over 2 decades of IT experience with companies like Chevron, Cisco, and more. He is a Bot Nirvana community member and has an interesting take on all things RPA and intelligent automation. So in this chat, we talk about automation roadmaps, center of excellence, best practices, citizen development, and more. Let's listen in. Hi, Doug. Welcome to the Bot Nirvana podcast. Thanks for being part of our community and all your contributions. Appreciate it. Let's start off today with a quick intro about yourself.
Sure. Yeah. Doug Shannon, global intelligent automation leader in the space. I started back, with 20 plus years of IT experience, and then overall went into like project management, upper levels of that, analyst work, looking into leading like quality assurance teams, and then got brought into like the RPA space and then now automation, intelligent automation. So yeah, it's great to be here, Nandan, and I appreciate the invite.
Thank you, Doug. And, you always bring a lot of thought leadership into whatever you do. So you've been in automation for some time now, and you've seen, and I've seen you lay out a roadmap for automation. So can you help our listeners understand the automation roadmap?
Yeah. So the roadmap beyond BPM looks to be, it goes like BPM, and then you have your basic RPA. So your RPA is essentially like automation 1.0. That's right. Where you fix like your quick fixes. It's very much like automate as is, because your business users are so busy, they can't even look to, build some BPM. They can't even look to stop working because they're just so busy, right? So they're bogged down. They need help. Sometimes automate as is a solution. It's not the best solution, but it gets the job done to where you can then give them the bandwidth they need to be able to think, hey, how can this process be better? How can we do it differently? Can we build into some rigor or items in there to make it more ease of use? And so once you get past that and you get past to where your users can actually think for a second and actually innovate a little bit, that's when you get more into the automation side. And so you basically take that RPA, you get those ROIs and those quick wins, you utilize those wins and that income and that resource to kind of invest a little bit more into your automation platform. At that point, you then look to automate more of the end-to-end processes that are out there. So that's when you get more into like the automation 2.0, right? So you have like RPA 1.0, automation 2.0, and then from doing automation, you're getting those larger end resources, those larger end application hits, and then you look to move into like intelligent automation. And intelligent automation is where you're looking to say, hey, how do we involve chatbots? How do we involve AI, ML? What does that look like? What kind of solutions are out there now, and what can we really dive into to get the most bang for our buck? Can we do, use document understanding from like certain vendors? Can we use different ways to analyze and use OCR to look at these forms and build really good models against them to say, hey, we can do this faster, better, more profitable, and really stay more efficient in the long run? And so that's ends up, intelligent automation being automation like 3.0, for example. And so that's kind of how I like to look at it. We hear a lot of different people in the space talking about like 1.0, 2.0, and that can get kind of convoluted. You have a lot of people talking about like hyper automation, all these other things. But if you look at it from the standpoint of like, it is a journey, and how you get there is there's certain key mappings you want to hit to make sure your organization can learn and grow with it. And that's really the goal, because once you start on that automation journey, you're not only just automating things, you're not only just changing the overall environment and making things more, ease of use, you're literally teaching your business users how to work with your team, how to work with that automation team. So they're coming to the COE, which is your center of excellence. They're asking, how do I work with you so I can save money and time and all the efforts that I'm doing? Once you get past that RPA stage, people want a part of this. They want to be a part of it. They want to say, wait, we got time back. I have time with my family. I have time to breathe a little bit, innovate. I can, stop working late at night and actually get some sleep. So you know, you want to empower that and you want to help them understand that. And usually, you know, using methodologies like agile methodologies and really like bringing people into your scrum meetings and your sprints and saying, here's how we do this and here's why we do this. And it really teaches them how to fish in a way, right? So like you teach them how to fish, they can catch fish for the rest of their lives. So they now know how to enable themselves to work with your team. And what that does is it enables it, you know, kind of like a change in culture, because they then go, oh, this is why BPM was important. This is why documenting that process is important. Let me go do more of that so we can automate more of that and then get more wins. And then the whole culture of the company changes to where they go, this is why. And by going from the automation standpoint up, you see that AI becomes much easier, because all that information is now static. It's now controlled. It you know where it's coming from. You know it's good information. It's not swampy, bad information, and it's solid. And then the whole organization builds towards that.
You spoke about people coming to the COE and, you know, getting their problem solved. So from an organizational perspective, you know, so setting up a COE is an important aspect, right? So that you have set up the governance and the tools and the infrastructure needed for people to do things right. So what would be your perspective on that in terms of setting up a COE and ensuring that all this is done in a controlled manner?
Yeah, I mean, definitely 100%. The first thing you want to do is set up your COE. So even if you're 1.0 and that's where you're starting off, even before then, you want to make sure you have some kind of leadership in your COE that understands the space, mm-hmm. understands where you may be going, so they can help lead you through all this. There's a lot of different vendors. There's a lot of different tools and ways to really do it. There's no book. Like, there's lots of books behind me, but there's no book that says, here's how you do automation. There is no book that says, here's the best way to set up a COE. There's definitely a lot of opinions out there, even my own perspectives. But overall, I mean, it is a choose your own adventure. And the best thing you can do is really just find the right people that match with your organizational structure and your beliefs and your code of ethics, and ensure that that person is going to embody those and help bring that value to your company. And so when looking at a COE, I mean, definitely it's going to start small. You know, you're not going to have a bunch of people. You're not hiring like 10, 20 people at the start. You're hiring like a couple. And then in that, the one thing I would like to mention, I guess, is that I see a lot of different job postings and opportunities out there where they're like, yeah, let's start doing RPA. And then what they end up doing is they want one guy to do all of that. And that doesn't really work, because you can't have one person be the leader and developer and the analyst and the overall, like the architect and everything else. Like, it doesn't work very well, because then you either get really good governance, or you get really good development, or you get a whole lot of nothing. And then when you get a whole lot of nothing, you don't get a really good ROI. And if you don't get your ROI, the business asks, what are we doing, guys? I mean, how's this working? So you definitely want to make sure you understand and your leaders understand. This is why a lot of people, when they talk about COEs and automation in general, they talk about, hey, you want, you know, high level leadership support. And you can either come from that direction from the top down, or you can come from the grassroots approach of like the bottom up, to where you're taking on those aspects and those pain points of the users, and you're working with them to enable them to not be pain points by automating them. And so the best route is, of course, to meet in the middle. You have leadership pushing to say, hey, automation is great. We should go this route because here's the wins we can get. And you have the grassroots saying, hey, we're here to support you. All the employees we're here to support. We're not here to take away jobs. We're here to actually promote and ensure that the only thing we're going to take away is like maybe some of those extra hats that you're putting on that you really don't need to wear, because, you know, we need work-life balance. And there's so much work to do, not enough people to do it. Instead of putting that on our employees, let's automate some of that so we don't have to put so much on our employees' shoulders.
Yeah, automation helps, right? I think so. There are two aspects, right? One is, yes, there is a dearth of, or we need more technology professionals out there, right? And so citizen development is one way to go to increase that pool of resources, right? And we call citizen developers, but, you know, basically technical people from the business side is what I would say. And what now Gartner has started calling as business technologists. And the second aspect, as you said, you know, the technology people themselves. And the problem there is that we have very few people there, right? In the sense that they that particular resource pool is stretched very thin, and that's where people tend to have, let's have one person do all the roles. And it can be budget too, but you know, but we do know that there's a dearth of developers or people who are automation experts out there, right? So what's your thoughts on that one, and any solutions you see on that front?
Yeah, I mean, I've thought about this a lot. There is a definite mixed match and not a lot of developers out there. And so everybody, there's like a worldwide shortage on developers at this point. I mean, you can look at it from different aspects. You can look at, you know, automation and digital transformation started a lot in Europe first, right? And it was really vetted out there, and the culture is very, accepting of digital transformation and accepting of change, which is, it's great. And now that that's come to the United States, we see it kind of growing more. However, it's growing in a way, it's almost like forced growth, because nobody wants to change. It's hard for change, right? It's not easy for anybody to. We can change our hairstyles, we can change our clothes, but like when it comes to changing who we are, it's a little different. So, and that's where, you know, automation can help with that cultural change. And that's kind of what I talk about online as well, to try to help people see the value in it and see where it can really make a difference. Now in the United States, like I mentioned, like there's not a lot of developers, and really, I don't know if it's a matter of just knowledge that it's out there, or knowledge in general of how much knowledge you need to be a developer. And so you could be right out of college and be a great developer. I've seen many of these different people I've worked with that came right out of college. And then in some cases, I think in the near future, it's becoming even more low code, that you may even see people that don't need college. Right. I'm pretty sure that boutiques real soon, you may see companies like out of high school, like seniors, just sitting there going, we can automate your stuff. Come talk to us. Like class of 2025 or something, you know?
I have seen from my personal experience, even for hardcore IT, there are like people, young people who come in who are very enthusiastic and do their work very well. And they do very well on the job, actually. And you know, I think also that it's also that the technology is always evolving. And so the newer generations are, you know, more attuned to that, right? They're growing up with it. They're growing with the newer technologies coming up. I think bringing in more younger people, I think that that's a great solution to actually solve this problem. And you're also opening up even, why wait till the school is over, right? I mean, let's bring them in early. Let's talk about the automation space in general, right? Like, I know there is a dearth of developers, but the more exciting thing is that the technology is progressing quite quickly. UiPath had a recent release, and you were really bullish about their cloud. And like you said earlier, you know, pick your adventure kind of model. So can you talk to that, about the cloud model and pick your adventure?
Yeah. So UiPath's newest release is 22.4, and they're really looking at investing more in the cloud side and really doing some really neat stuff around, like, using Kubernetes, using containerization to bring their cloud side on-prem. And so having that ability really sets them apart as a different kind of platform or different kind of vendor, to be able to have to bridge both worlds in a way. And so that's really neat. And provides a lot of value. And so the other things that are coming in 22.4 that I found really interesting is that a lot of teams and a lot of people on this journey tend to have not really issues, but it's hard to convey the message. It's hard to convey the communication within the corporation or within the organization you're working in. And so one of the items that is being released is called Launchpad. And so Launchpad is a neat way to kind of convey the overall, like, governance and guidance and communication that's coming out. And so it's a matter of, hey, do you want to learn more about UiPath? Here's the university links. Here's some recommended training. If you have things, if you've already invested in UiPath and you have something like Automation Hub, it would be something like, hey, do you have an idea for automation? Here's a link to Automation Hub where you can quickly go in there and put an idea in. And this idea or idea can then you know, support the overall pipeline and what you're working with, right? So other than that, on the online side, they're UiPath is also doing one of the first to do this, where they're adding a studio, like their studio bot that is normally used for development, they're actually putting that in the web. And so they have a web interface now that instead of having a virtual machine where you have to go into and log in and whatnot to use Studio, or you're doing it on your personal machine, you can actually do this on a website. And so the website has all the same activities and all that. And so that's looking really neat and interesting to provide just another aspect of how to develop and how to really get things out. One of the other things I'm actually excited about is the integration side. Integrations where you're able to use API connections from all the API connections that UiPath has actually worked out and provided on. And so they have like 70 plus, almost, I think like 88 now. And out of those, you can connect to Outlook, you can connect to, you know, all these different features to where you're doing direct connection. So instead of doing just like an email, or you're waiting for your bot to check an email to see when it comes in or look for that specific text, you can have this API driving that and driving that integration to where it automatically can kick off your unattended processes. So this in turn just it adds more value, right? You can do more with less, you can utilize your bots more effectively. And so that's really some of the key factors in there.
Okay, and UiPath also released something for the Mac OS, right?
It did. So 22.4 does have Mac support, and I think they mentioned Linux support or more Linux support. But Mac support is really keen for a lot of developers out there that are on Macs that are like, hey, I can't do this. It's kind of opening the door for that. So people have been waiting a long time, and so a lot of people have talked to are very happy about it. I don't work on Macs usually anymore. I used to back in the day, but like right now, it's like, hey, you know, it works.
Yeah, that's cool. And you know, that's been one of the limitations of automation that we've been doing in the enterprise, right? It's all been Windows led and been lacking on the Mac and OS side. So I think it's a good first step, and I think maybe we should see more native Mac integrations as well, right? Maybe a more native Unix Linux automations as well. And we do have some of them, like you know, on the open source side, like Robocorp and even Tag UI, they have quite a bit of Linux involvement. Okay, you want to add something there?
They do. I mean, definitely Robocorp does have a lot there, and they do some interesting stuff as well.
Okay, so good. So from tools perspective, I know you have got the UiPath logo out there behind you. So I know you're more into UiPath, but what do you think about the other tools in the market? You know, now Automation Anywhere has kind of taken a backseat. Blue Prism been acquired. People want to understand what are the other options. Looks like Microsoft is coming up well. So what are your thoughts on the other tools available?
Yeah, I try not to get into it too much. Whatever automation platform you have should suffice. I don't recommend switching anything at the moment. I recommend just building out and learning what you can. Blue Prism was acquired. They're coming back in. I see them starting to come back and getting more out there. Right. I know I've ran into Automation Anywhere a lot at different conventions and meetings, and they're doing really great in marketing, and they have a great product as well. The main stuff I look at when it comes to automation is, you know, do you have orchestration? Can you orchestrate your bots? Do you have visibility on where they're at, what they're doing? What are your audit controls? Like, how much visibility do you have in your product? And as long as you have that, you're doing well, right? You're doing automation. Things like Power Automate that are great and cheap because most people have like back-end infrastructure of Microsoft anyway, I get it, but they don't have orchestration. There's not a way to easily see, you know, what's going on. You can build your end-to-end and kind of connections and flows and processes, but it's not quite there yet. But it does have, for the IT side, there's a lot of wins that can be made, right? So the other thing is, if you know, when you're looking at automation, you're not just looking at one department. You're not just looking IT. You're not just looking business. You're looking, you know, enterprise wide.
Right.
And so when you want that, like, those platforms need to be able to support that. And the one that, I mean, I know the best would be UiPath. They do support that. You have, you know, your studios where development is done from, you know, like your professional developers. You have Studio X that could be used for your citizen developers or people that are less savvy, right? Or need more guide rails. So there's a lot of governance built into their platform that does help to maintain those connections. You know, if you have an environment or an enterprise where people still have a leveling degree of permissions or administrative rights where they may or may not need that, then you need more governance. And right. So my recommendation would be not to go with Power Automate for the enterprise, but definitely if you have certain organizations, like certain groups, or you want to do like a ROC, like a robot operations center, or kind of branch off from your COE and say, hey, you know, this IT group over here can totally go and do stuff. Great. But if they want to build something bigger, better, and like more robust, like a full end to end, let's work with the automation team again and really build that out so that it has more governance built around it.
Okay. Yeah. And so that's true that Microsoft is evolving and, you know, they have a comparatively not so strong RPA offering. You know, what they're approaching in my mind is from a power platform perspective, which is more like enabling citizen developers. And in that aspect, they do have an end-to-end framework, you know, with Intune, with for security and all that for actually doing the governance. They in fact even have a COE for a toolkit. I was just talking to one person in the morning about, you know, COE. And so, you know, if you look at it, a power platform perspective with the Power BI and things like that, they do have an offering. But yeah, from an automation perspective, they have a bit of a distance to go with compared to the likes of UiPath, because they've been doing it for quite some time and built up a library of automations, right? I think it's an exciting ecosystem evolving, and competition is good, and a lot of people, you know, there, and even the new, you know, even the open source options coming up well. So I think we have, you know, I think it's evolving well. So in terms of talking of evolution, right, let's talk beyond our RP automation, right? I mean, we've got, like you earlier mentioned, chatbots, we've got the whole AI and NLP, computer vision, everything coming up. What's exciting to you about those things, especially with respect to automation?
Yeah, I mean, all that's exciting, right? So it's a matter of, you know, can we, when we, and how we do these things, right? So how do we bring them in? What does it look like? Do we have, I mean, does your organization have the backend stuff, you know, ready? Like, are you, you know, what platforms are you using to support the other stuff? Are you using like ServiceNow? Are you using, you know, what's your ticketing system? So all that stuff comes into play. Like, where are you storing your knowledge at? And is it something that is stored in a way that everybody can see it, support it, maintain it? How is that maintained now? All those questions really come into play, because when you build in like your chatbots or your AI, you need to know where those variables are so that you can actually address them and make sure that they are always ready to go. Examples I've just used in the past is just, you know, you can build out dashboards all day, but if you don't have the information to really build those dashboards, then it's a lot of manual work to go and build that, right? And so if you have that already served up via automation or via these platforms, it just makes it a much easier approach. And then almost to where it just does it itself. And that's the goal, is a lot of the day-to-day scorecards and information that we're looking at, the more we can automate, the more we can just make it happen.
All right, Doug. So, you know, a lot of exciting technologies coming up in the space, and you know, a lot of things evolving. So, and you've been in this automation space for quite some time now. So having been gone through this, what would be like some few best practices that you would suggest for someone who is just getting started?
Yeah, certainly. Best practice wise, I would recommend starting somewhere, if not anywhere, just somewhere, so that in general, you want to scope out kind of what the idea is. You want to build some POCs, like proof of concepts. You can work with, you know, the different vendors that are in play that can help out kind of address some of these. Something that, you know, I've known and come to pass is, like, you may have, you know, when you're starting automation, there's always a reason, right? Maybe the CFO, maybe the CIO of your company is like, hey, we need to start this, and here's why. Mm-hmm. Like, they want to hit this really high targeted item because it hurts. Like, there's a pain point. Let's find a solution for it. And so that may not be the best place to start, because it may take forever. So it's definitely better to start with something smaller.
Right.
Because, yeah, because I mean, not only start smaller because you'll get the ROI from it sooner, but you're also helping your team to understand the environment, the organization, the enterprise. And the more your team understands, the more that they can actually support and automate. And so overall, like, doing those low hanging fruit that you hear about from different people and different articles, and looking to not always automate as is, but sometimes automate as is because it hurts. And if you can get some of that automated to where it hurts less, then your teams can do more. And do you go back and fix those that you kind of band-aided and automated, you know, in that first approach? Yeah, totally. You go back and analyze it. Once that team is really developed out, like, hey, here's the right process. Here's how we should have been doing this versus just kind of like limping along and getting it done because the job had to be done. So that's some of the easy quick wins. Overall, it's just alignment. I usually like to use the acronym, which I don't like. Everybody has acronyms, but my acronym I use is ACT. And so it's like, you know, get your act together or get acting. And so it's ACT, which is alignment, clarity, and transparency. Okay. So always do that with your stakeholders, your business leaders, like help them to understand the ACT, help them to see how things work. And so the more transparent you are and the more that you know, drives your overall goals, like it just helps because in the end, like it's, you know, we're always not in a safe place type of environment where, you know, things are changing and moving so fast. You have to kind of move those safe places or safe spots into like more of like a brave space to where it's okay to ask questions. It's okay to say, I don't know. And really work with either a vendor to support what you don't know, or reach out to those that do know and maybe get some feedback to really find out. So the community of the automation community as a whole is really fantastic. And I recommend there's different groups to reach out to. I know one group I work with is the Vocal Council. Mm-hmm. They're great. There's Bot Nirvana. They have a lot of great information. Like there's key individuals that are out there. You know, use them, talk to them, see what you can learn from them. But that would be the best kind of like overall, like what to do if you're just starting.
Right. Yeah. And I like all that you said there, you know, start somewhere. I would say act, start yes. somewhere and be brave. Right. Yep. So, and you know, we can all analyze and paralyze, but you know, start somewhere, right? But yeah. do a quick ACT, have clarity, but get started. Thanks for the shout out for Bot Nirvana, and I think the idea is for all of us to help each other, right? Mm-hmm. And I have heard stories of people who, with known consulting companies, who started and did things for 3 years, 5 years before they got it right. So I think it's different for each organization. And so I think that's where your whole advice of start somewhere is very useful, because unless you start, you don't know what works for your particular environment. You can keep on thinking and learning from other organizations, but what works for your organization is going to be unique. So I think that's a great place to end this on. So before we go, Doug, what's a good place where people can find you?
Yeah, the best place, the only social media I'm on is LinkedIn, and I can't handle anymore. So, but yeah, reach out on social media via LinkedIn, and yeah, we can definitely connect there. And that's probably the best spot.
Great. Yeah. Thank you, Doug. Thanks for sharing your views today. It was great having you.
Yeah, pleasure. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you for joining the Bot Nirvana podcast. Appreciate if you can leave a review on iTunes or Stitcher. Catch the show notes on botnirvana.org. While you're there, feel free to explore more automation ideas, tutorials, tools, and more. See you next time.